And now, Political Corner on WCRSFM.org and DJBCAdventures.tumblr.com. And welcome to Political Corner. It's back after a almost 4-year hiatus on WCRSFM.org and DJBCAdventures.tumblr.com. I am your host, the DJBC, from the DJBC Happy Hour. We're taping this at 8:30 on Monday night. This would have aired about 20 minutes from now, but they didn't tell us that we were going to air coverage of the GOP National Convention. More on that in a little bit. In this first podcast in almost 4 years, we're going to hit on wards and Bernie's endorsement of Hillary Clinton, which we're going to start off with that. On Tuesday, could it be the end of the Bernie Sanders campaign? Pretty much, as the Vermont senator endorsed his rival, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, last Tuesday, in an effort to unify the Democratic Party and the efforts to defeat Donald Trump, the big, bad billionaire. Well, the GOP National Convention is getting underway in Cleveland this week, and Pacifica will be airing it live from 8 p.m. to midnight, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I don't know about Friday. But could it mean that a lot of the Bernie supporters, could they jump to Team Trump? Or could they find an alternative? Oh yeah, and she has a name. And her name is Stein. Jill Stein. Of the Green Party. Stein ran in 2012 as the Green Party's candidate for president, when President Obama ran for re-election and won in a landslide. Now, here's what it feels like. It's like unifying the Democratic Party, but let's take a trip back in time to earlier this year in Franklin County, Ohio, where the Franklin County Dems were at war with each other. And actually, it began this time last year when soon-to-be former Franklin County Sheriff Zach Scott ran unsuccessfully for mayor of Columbus against the current mayor, Andrew Ginther. So the Democrats that endorsed Ginther, banded together in January to form this unity ticket with their own candidates on the ballot, and three of the four won over, and then the one incumbent on the unity ticket, Treasurer Ed Leonard, actually lost in a nail biter to relatively unknown Cheryl Brooks Sullivan in the county treasurer race. The three incumbents on the challengers on the unity ticket, Danny O'Connor, beat out T.J. Brown, the first openly gay elected official in Franklin County history, former Columbus City Councilman, former Ohio Treasurer, and current State Representative Kevin Boyce, beat out three-term incumbent Paula Brooks for Franklin County Commissioner. Even Brooks's buddies on the Board of Commissioners voted against her because they were on Team Ginther. And of course, Zach Scott lost to relatively unknown former cop Dallas Baldwin, who actually is the sheriff-elect because the Republicans thought that, maybe Zach Scott has a chance. It's okay. We're not going to put anyone on the ticket because you know what? Zach Scott's safe for another 4 years. They should have, but, they gotta wait 4 years. They gotta wait till 2020. So, Dallas Baldwin is the new sheriff, as he was won on March 15th. So, he doesn't have to do anything until January. Just, make the transition smooth and longer. So, alright, enough on that. So, that gets us to wards. Issue 1 in the city of Columbus. This is a very hot-button issue on August 2nd. Well, it's very heated up. You got the no side, which is like, leave it as is, at large, all 7 council members, we're for you, we're on your side. This is led by, obviously, people like the City of Columbus Mayor Ginther and One Columbus. And then you got Represent Columbus, led by community activists like Jonathan Beard and Whitney Smith, who say, Columbus is not representing all the pieces of the puzzle. Well, they're kind of right. The Hilltop hasn't had, like, any representative station in city councils since probably Jack Sensenbrenner being mayor, and that was back in 1971. The Near East Side can't get a ticket to the table. Linden, until Ginther's campaign, was not part of the conversation. Franklinton is a neighborhood in halves. The eastern part is doing so well. West of 315, not so well. The south side was not part of the conversation until like about 4 years ago. But then you had people like Jane Grody Abel. You got Nationwide Children's Hospital investing in the south side. And former Mayor Coleman investing in the south side. And Parsons Avenue. And Livingston Avenue. That's coming up now. It wasn't part of the conversation like 6 years ago. Northland has been on the decline since Easton and Polaris. Then that was back in the 90s. The Far East Side, Eastland, they don't have any representation. I mean, if you have like three councilmen in the short north, three councilmen who live in German Village, and one who lives in Clintonville, what about everybody else? The one Columbus side claims that issue two is going to raise it up to 25 or 28 politicians. Wrong. It's 13 council members. And they say that also one Columbus says that it is like you only get to pick or vote for four and not all of them. Well, it's basically there will be 10 per ward, which means they can't draw the maps until after it's passed, according to law. And three at large. They claim that, well, all seven council members represent all the city, even though that I'm pretty sure they can't be at all four corners at once. That's not representing the entire city of Columbus. I mean, is it? You think it's fair? No. I mean, absolutely not. And this is why wards are very important to Columbus. Only Portland is the only other big top 50 city that does not have wards. And this system, the at-large system, is 102 years old. Since then, Bexley has become a city. Upper Arlington was founded. Grandview Heights was founded. Dublin went from a two-traffic stop village to a city. Westerville went from a two-traffic stop village to a city. Worthington went from a little village to a city. Canal Winchester went from a little village with one traffic light, maybe, to a city. I mean, Delaware County wasn't even a smidgen of thought. But here we are, in 2016, and Columbus is the 15th largest city in the world, and on the U.S., and we don't have wards? Is there something wrong with this picture besides me being a Michigan fan in Columbus, Ohio? Yeah, there is. And finally, right now, the National Convention is going on in Cleveland as we speak, and it is big. How big? So big. Cleveland, they only have like 27 days to like turn around Quicken Loans Arena from the Cleveland Cavaliers winning the NBA Finals, Cleveland's first championship since the Spanish Inquisition. They had to turn that around to like Trump City USA. And the soap opera that began this time last year, it was like an audition for The Bachelor. Yes, that is right. It was like an audition for The Bachelor on the GOP side of the ticket. You had like 17 candidates for president on that ticket last year. It was cutthroat, so cutthroat that Donald Trump made them cancel each other out. But here we come to this. And yeah, there could be riots. Look at it this way. Trump has incited riots wherever he's gone. And if this rings a bell, we're going to take a trip back to 1968 in Chicago. After the presumed frontrunner, Bobby Kennedy, was assassinated, the Democrats were in scramble to find a candidate. Remember, President Johnson decided he wasn't going to run again. So they came up with the next best thing, Hubert H. Humphrey, the vice president. And that turned out to be a disaster. Riots in Chicago, which made it easier for Nixon to catapult to victory in November of 1968. Now, we're listening to this right now on the other room, and they're talking about why they support Trump, but let's face it, some people don't want Hillary to be president. Well, this conversation is only going to get louder, and by the end of the week, frankly, we're going to be sick of it. In the next political corner, which will be up this weekend, we're going to recap the GOP National Convention. This has been Political Corner on WCRSFM.org and DJBCAdventures.tumblr.com.